Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Aardvark Accessibility Podcast. This is Natalie G, and I'm an accessibility novice. And with us today is
Natalie MacLeese, accessibility expert.
Thank you. And in today's episode, we're going to go over site overlays, what they are, what makes them so bad and hated across the accessibility community, and what you can do instead of using overlays. So, Natalie, do you want to kick us off? What are overlays for sites?
Yeah, so I wanted to get started by clarifying that there's actually two types of overlays, and one of them is actually fine. And by ones that are fine, I mean things like Joe Dolson's WP Accessibility Plugin for WordPress sites. All it does is add a couple of little buttons on the side, although I think you can configure it, but they let you switch to like a dark or high contrast mode, and they let you adjust the font size. And that's all it does, is just add those couple of little tools. So that kind of overlay, like if you want to call that an overlay, perfectly fine if you want to use something like that. When we're talking about the overlays that everybody loves to hate, we're talking about the ones that make a lot of claims about using AI to magically fix all of the accessibility issues on your website. So if you see that kind of claim happening, that's the kind of overlay that we're talking about. And they advertise as though, hey, you don't even have to worry about accessibility anymore. You just drop this little line of JavaScript onto your site and it's magically completely accessible. No accessibility issues left on the site at all. It's just that easy.
The ones that make the claims, do they also offer little accessibility tools like changing contrast and stuff like that?
Yeah, they often have a whole pile of tools for all kinds of stuff. Yes, and it makes them look very fancy and very attractive.
Right, but it's the simple ones you're looking for, right? Like changing the font size.
Yeah, and we're also looking for one that's not making any claims about fixing accessibility issues, right? Like one that's just say, hey, you can add a couple of these nice little accessibility tools to your site. That's fine. But the ones that are saying we're actually going to correct accessibility issues that are on your site, that's where we start to get into the danger zone.
Okay. So talking about the danger zone, do you want to dive into why that's the danger zone?
Yeah, sure.
Why are they so bad? Yeah.
So AI is not good enough at this point to actually fix accessibility issues. So we've talked before about how trying to come back to something that's already built and fix accessibility after the fact is trying to put the chocolate chips in the cookie after it's baked, right? But these overlays are trying to have a robot put the chocolate chips in the cookie after it baked, which is going to be even more of a disaster because the robot doesn't even know what chocolate chips are and it can't eat the cookies, so it just doesn't care. So it does not fix all of the accessibility issues on your site. It cannot happen. It's just impossible. So you can't believe anything that's making those claims. They're not an all-in-one solution. They are going to leave a whole bunch of accessibility issues on your site. It is true. They may fix a few very simple things, but for the most part, they are going to leave all of your accessibility issues there or actually make them worse than they were before you were using the overlay.
Do any of them actually edit the markup on your pages? Like, oh, this is missing a label. Let me add one.
So it can't actually write to files because it's just JavaScript. So it will modify the markup. Yes, it will make changes to the HTML, but dynamically on the front end. It's not actually changing, you know, your underlying files that are making up your website.
Mm-hmm. And that still poses an issue for users?
It can cause a lot of issues for users. And another thing that these overlays tend to do that's extremely deceptive is they interact with accessibility scanning tools. So if you're using one of the popular like browser add-ons, for example, to scan your website for accessibility issues, we could say like Axe or Wave. If you're using one of those, you could do a little experiment where you scan your page and it says, oh, you have 50 accessibility issues. And then you install an overlay and it says, oh, now you only have 10. And you think, oh, well, great. The overlay fixed 40 issues. But it didn't actually, because that scanning tools are just using JavaScript too. And so the overlay is actually interfering with the scanner's script to prevent it from finding those issues. They're not gone. It just stopped the scanner from finding them.
Oh, I see. So it's not even just for like website owners. It's like even for accessibility professionals, it'll interfere with their own work.
It definitely can. And if you look around, you'll find all kinds of browser add-ons for disabling these overlays. Because in addition to being deceptive, they actually kind of get in the way and make websites harder to use for people with disabilities. So people who are using assistive technology actually have a harder time using your website when you're using one of these overlays than if you weren't using it at all, which is the opposite of what your intention is, right? You want to make it easier, but you're making it more difficult. You're actually putting up more barriers, and people just aren't aware that they're doing that. And it's really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's the worst part of it, is that a lot of people who use those tools, they're not even aware of what they're doing. They feel like they're doing a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely talked to a lot of web developers who, after seeing me give a talk, they'll say like, oh no, I just told all of my clients to just install one of these, and now I have to go back to them all and tell them no, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I was actually on a call with a client who I'm doing some accessibility testing work for, and they're having the original developer who built the site do the remediation work for the issues that we're uncovering. And on the call, the person who runs this agency said, well, why don't we just install one of these overlays instead of doing all this work? And I had to explain to her why, and to please stop telling her clients to do that.
Oh, brother. I almost feel like people try to see accessibility as like a layer on their site, but it's really not. It's like you install a security plugin, like, oh, that fixes a lot of your security issues. It adds a little layer of security. But accessibility is not a layer. Like, it's not something you can just apply over your site.
No, yeah, it has to be built in, and you can't just layer that on later.
Mm-mm. Yeah, maybe security you can layer on later, or caching.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a security expert, but it does seem to at least work a little bit.
Do you want to go over or paraphrase some of the statements that we found on some of these overlay websites, just to give the audience a taste of the statements?
Yeah. So, you can leverage the power of our AI-powered accessibility widget. That should just be red flags all over. AI is like, it's like an intern on their first day of work. It's not that good. You have to check its work. It can't completely fix accessibility issues. So anybody who's claiming that they're using AI to fix accessibility issues, that should be a big red flag. We have one saying over 50 innovative accessibility features. I don't even know what that means. What are 50 accessibility features? I think it might be those like tools to change color contrast and font size, but like there's 50 of them.
Yeah, what are they doing? There's font size, contrast.
It could do text-to-speech, but I actually don't think they even do that I've seen, but maybe they do. But still, we're at 3 tools and we're running out of ideas.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen some do like changing the font to like that dyslexic-friendly one.
Oh, sure. They did try to add alt text. I don't know if they're counting that.
Oh, yeah. AI. AI text. Oh, no.
AI-powered alt text.
I don't think it would be bad, but it definitely has to be reviewed for sure.
Oh, yeah. You can't just let an AI bot run free on your website and not follow up and see what it's doing. You definitely need to check on it. And, you know, maybe in 10 or 20 or 50 years, AI will be able to fix things like that. But right now, it just cannot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way it's built right now as like literally a layer over your site, like it has to edit the files of your site to make any difference.
I think. And it can't do that. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have file access. So it's all stuff that it's trying to do as a JavaScript on top of your existing website. And it just can't. Even if I, like, as a, you know, as somebody who's worked in accessibility for a long time, if I were to try to sit down in front of a website and you said to me, the only tool you can use to fix this site and remediate it is to add a JavaScript file to the site, I wouldn't be able to fix all of the accessibility issues, even really carefully thinking through things and understanding context of things, right? I couldn't fix all of the accessibility issues by just adding a JavaScript, and a robot certainly can't do it either.
I mean, that's even true for like a lot of the work that we do. We troubleshoot on people's websites. Like, there's a lot of things we can't figure out and help you with unless you let us log in at the minimum.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
Do you want to go over the next paraphrased one that we were giggling about a lot earlier?
Oh, simplify web accessibility with advanced AI and computer vision.
What is computer vision?
Don't even know what that is. They're just making up words now. and then the very dangerous and misleading streamlines the process of achieving compliance. You are definitely not achieving compliance with one of these tools, but people think they are. I have, over the years, talked to very many clients who said, I don't understand why I got this letter about a lawsuit for accessibility on my website. I have this overlay. And they're very frustrated because they have this feeling, right? Like, I did what I was supposed to do. I put this thing on here and it said it would fix it all. But now people are saying that my website's inaccessible. I don't understand.
Yeah. Speaking about how it doesn't achieve compliance, do you want to go over the lawsuits and these people who were completely unaware get sued anyway?
Yeah. There's been quite a few cases of them, where people had these overlays installed and they still got lawsuits, which is fair enough because your site isn't accessible. Somebody did try to come to your website and they weren't able to use it. And in fact, the overlay may have made it even more difficult for them to get to the content of your website than if you had not done that at all. So that's fair enough. There does tend to be a lot of wording in the advertising of these overlays saying that they will protect you from lawsuits, and they just don't. They just don't. That's completely inaccurate.
I have seen it a lot on their websites. They're like, oh, we'll like cover all the legal.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. They even say they're so confident that they're going to protect you from lawsuits that they have wording on their website saying, we've got your back, basically. If somebody does try to sue you, we'll help you out. I don't know exactly what they claim there, if they're going to pay your legal costs, or I don't know what they are claiming that they're going to do. But the customers that I have spoken to who have still gotten sued or gotten demand letters have not gotten any help from these overlay companies.
Yeah, I would be interested to see if somebody reached out to them and like, hey, I'm getting sued. I need some compensation for these legal fees. And they're just nothing, no reply.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is that these companies tend to have quite a lot of money to throw around because they get a lot of funding and investment from like venture capitalists and things. And they could make a lot of strides by investing that money into their product and making it better, right? Like what they're trying to do isn't completely impossible. Like there are, you know, I acknowledged earlier, like there are some accessibility issues that they could actually help fix or help people find things. And they could probably work on expanding that capability, but instead they're investing all of that money into these very misleading advertising campaigns. And they're also, unfortunately, investing a lot of that money into suing accessibility professionals who speak up and say, hey, these tools are doing something misleading, which is really, really unfortunate and just like the worst use of those funds, I think, of all. I if you have the money, why wouldn't you just make your product better?
Mm-hmm. And one of the bigger overlay tools right now is getting some backlash, right?
Yeah, so the FTC here in the United States has imposed a fine on one of the overlay companies of $1 million, which is a tiny fraction of the revenue and profits, but that's, you know, at least it's something. And if you are interested in participating in that, as of this recording through February 5th of 2025, that ruling is actually open for public comment. And so it's open for public comment for a total of 30 days, and then they will make their final decision on whether or not they're going to impose that $1 million fine. So if you believe, like I do, that they should definitely get that fine, you can go and leave your comment on the FTC's ruling. So we'll put the link in the show notes or in the comments or in the description below.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the only hope is that they do something about that after they're fined.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully that $1 million, hopefully that is enough to deter them from continuing down the path that they're on, and maybe they can shift directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess the hard thing, though, is like them advertising an all-in-one solution is so much more flashier. So much more appealing.
I get that. It's a lot harder to market a tool that says, hey, it can fix a few accessibility issues on your site. That's a lot harder, but it would be more honest. And I think it would give people a much better picture of what the tool actually does and what they can expect after they install it. And, you know, it's fine if they want to add some tools for changing the font and changing the colors. There are people who would find that useful. And it's not hurting anything. It's not in their way. If they don't want to use it, that would be fine. It's just the claims that the AI is going to fix everything. And then the way that it interferes with assistive technology, the way it interferes with accessibility checkers, the way it just blocks people who are trying to use the website is just really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. For people getting sued, is there a particular type of website, or is it really just any website on the internet?
It's really just any website on the internet. And we tend to see them go in batches. Like I think a year or two ago, it was wineries in upstate New York. Like just suddenly a whole bunch of them got hit with lawsuits. So I think there are some probably less than honest, less than well-intentioned lawyers who will just open a website, run an accessibility scan tool on it. And if it comes up with issues, they, you know, have a little group of clients that they use and file the lawsuits, and they'll find a little niche in a market like that, like wineries in upstate New York, and just do all of them in a day and send out a bunch of demand letters. So That's a topic for another episode for sure, is the kind of the dark side of accessibility. the downside of having a law that the only enforcement is lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah, because wouldn't it be nicer if they just reached out and said, hey, I can't use your website.
Yeah. Yeah. But then that would require the company who owns the website to respond nicely and say, oh my gosh, absolutely, we'll get on that right away and we'll fix those accessibility issues. But like that often doesn't happen either. So there's a whole chain. There's a whole chain of things, a little chain of dominoes falling here that hopefully one day we'll fix it.
Little by little, if everyone does a little bit of their part.
Yep.
What should website owners do instead of using overlays?
They should figure out how to actually fix accessibility issues on their websites. And if they're going to build a new website, find somebody who can do it accessible from the very start, because that's going to be the easiest thing to do, is to just make it accessible from the start. If you already have a website and you're not planning to redesign or relaunch it anytime soon, then you could use accessibility scanners like Aardvark to go through. Just start chipping away at it, right? Doing something is better than doing nothing. So start making any kind of little improvements that you can. Find out what all of your accessibility issues are and start fixing them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And to end the show, do you have any last notes?
Yeah. So if you would like to learn a little bit more about overlays and how they work or kind of don't work, there is a website, overlayfactsheet.com. You can go there. You can read all about accessibility overlays from a neutral person who's not involved in overlays, but is an accessibility expert. And you can also sign a petition on that website, which I think has like about 1,000 signatures on it at this point. You can sign a petition saying, yes, nobody should be using these because they are deceptive and actually create barriers instead of breaking barriers down.
And I also have one more note.
Okay.
If you're interested in seeing how to find manual issues and see how they're fixed in real time, we're going to start live streaming this whole process. Right, Natalie?
Yes, we are. Yep. So later today, I've got my first stream. I don't know that anybody will get to the podcast in time, but it won't be my only one. So just keep an eye out on our YouTube channel and our LinkedIn page for when those will be happening.
Yeah. I don't think this podcast will be out by then, but
yeah,
you can see the recordings of it and hopefully you can catch a live stream in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, that is the podcast. I don't know what episode we're on anymore. Episode 9?
Or I 10? Think it's episode 9.
Okay, episode 9 of the Aardvark Accessibility Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.